Hello.
Hi,
John, how are you?
I'm fine. I trust you had a good weekend.
Yeah, we did. I spent
about a couple of days, at least two nights over at Walker's, so that was pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Weather good, I hope.
Weather was fine. Not the best, but good enough.
Good.
And the main thing was that got ready for the next week.
We're going to go tomorrow night on our little deal that you know about.
Yes, I think that's great.
And I just finished the final draft just this minute, so we're get it on the way. We've got two aboard and everything else. It'll raise some hell.
I think it's going to throw some red faces.
You think so?
I would think so.
Well, it's a very well-done draft, I really believe. It's, rather matter-of-fact, but good God, you know, John, we've offered everything you can imagine. I mean, a six-month withdrawal in exchange for ceasefire and POWs. What the hell more do you want?
Well, this is why they're going to have red faces, because they've been making all those noises, but in fact, these things haven't been done.
Let me ask you one thing. As you know, I did talk to John Cooper, and I see that he decided not to run, right?
Yes, I tried everything conceivable with all the power structure down there and so forth. He was absolutely,
Where does it now stand? Is there any chance to get none, or is it pretty...
Probably not, for a number of reasons, which I've been doing a little work today trying to sort out. Louis got pretty well scared up in that gubernatorial election down there.
Yeah.
He had a poll commission, which showed you doing very well, but Louis was within 2 points of this unknown legislative leader, the Democrat, down there.
Mm-hmm.
And Louis is at the point where he does not feel that he wants to give up what he's got for a race where he's going to be torn up.
Sure.
Now, I've been talking to the Lenin and some other people, and they say that Louis, I know the difficulty Lee and Louis Nunn have, but they come through with the thought that Louis would probably be the worst candidate because of the fact that Marlo Cook and some of Louis's other enemies down there would cut him up and support him.
Do they have a candidate?
No, that's what we're trying to sort out now.
Big one up.
But in thinking about it in the last few days, we probably would be better off with a bland candidate rather than one who's going to
drag us
by
I understand.
The internecine warfare.
I know. In other words, we're not too damn interested in the Senate anyway, as it turns out. We hope for the best.
Yeah, well, we can hope for the best, and actually, if the stories that I am getting about Cook and some of the congressmen down there, what they do to Nunn, if they are correct, you'd probably do better with a bland candidate that you could pull along than one that they're going to cut behind the scenes. So I was just about to put in a call to Marlo Cook to get his reading on them.
Good.
We're going to have to get all of them before you get to one to go.
All right. We'll just leave her stand then. Well, it was nice to ask old John. Made him feel good.
Well, I had a nice talk with him, too. He really appreciated it, although he had definitely made up his mind that he was appreciated being wanted.
Yeah.
He said
he's making the right decision, John.
Holy 70.
Good heavens. And he looks 80.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's got a very bad leg condition. You know?
His leg condition's bad, and his hearing is bad, and, gee whiz, he just shouldn't do it.
But he said he would campaign and put all his resources.
Well, that'll be helpful.
It will.
Yes, sir.
As long as we get that appointment that he wants, and I think for one of his staff people, and I think we can do it all right.
Oh, sure. So, I had a very good talk with Rizzo today.
Oh, did you?
Was he in? He was in to talk about getting money from the government.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, which we go, but I'll tell you, he's really all aboard, all the way.
Did Waller stop and see him on his way back?
Yes, sir. He'd had 2 hours with him.
Good.
And, but Rizzo said, he just said the question was when, and we both agreed he ought to wait until after the convention, and then, because otherwise they'd kill him before then.
Yep.
I said, then at that, you'd just say you're going to wait and see whether or not the Democratic Party nominates a candidate you can support. If they don't, you come stay loose.
And that will be his
end. And then he can move. And when he moves then, it'll have one hell of an effect. But just staying loose will have a very good effect.
Is there anything that should be done to follow through, or just leave him to his own devices?
The only thing that needs to be done, first, Annenberg will follow through. He expects to. The second thing, I've told Ehrlichman to follow through on the money front.
Yeah.
Now, raise LEAA, transportation, mm-hmm. any other money we can. We're going to try to help him. And third, just keep an awful close touch with him. You know?
Yeah, well, I've got a good, really,
right.
good rapport with him.
Right.
I think I ought to call him from time to time.
Absolutely. I'd give him, I think, a little tender loving care with him will go a long way.
Yeah.
And I think you could just, maybe about every 3 weeks or so, you mm-hmm. could sort of pick up the phone. How's it look up there?
Looks pretty good.
Mr. Mayor, you ask him that, I mean.
Yep.
Yeah.
But just briefly.
That's what I meant. That I think he'd love to be asked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He says he guarantees we can carry Pennsylvania if he says this, because he says, I'm going to. Of course, his line is very tough, you know. He says, you weren't going to get any black votes. He says, you've got to do it the way I did. He says, you're going to get Italian votes. And he even thinks we'll get some Jewish votes. But maybe that as it may, we won't get as many as he did. But if you can hold Philadelphia to 100,000, you can carry the state.
Mr. President, I've got to tell you about this Jewish vote. Nelson Rockefeller was in here Friday when we were working out some of our political activities.
Yeah.
And there is a public employees union in New York City that was on the line for Nelson Rockefeller to give him another line.
Oh.
They're all Jews, you know, in the
school. Oh, sure, of course they are, yeah.
And they have already come in to him and asked if he will help them get back on a line for you in this fall. Now, there's been a tremendous turnaround in this thing because of the Israeli situation and Goldie Meir, and they're dropping the civil rights kick and going for law and order and the rest.
Well, they're getting damn tired, John, of Forest Hills and things like that, too, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
My brother John, Lindsay, and all
that. But here they are so early coming in to talk to the governor about it, they're not even waiting to see, you know, where the...
How's Nelson going to do? Is he going to play ball with our friend Buckley?
Yeah, I've got Nelson and Cliff White working together.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are, of course, Cliff has the Buckley organization.
Mm-hmm.
What we are working on is putting the conservative groups that Jim Buckley had in mm-hmm. place for you now, so that they won't go running off to the conservative party. You know, it'll give us a little more stroke with the conservative party when you get to the parliament negotiations if we have their troops. In addition to that, Cliff points out that the conservative party is now in the ascendancy quite rapidly.
It's going down?
Yep, that they reached their height at 68.
Oh, yeah, I see, yeah.
Because Jim Buckley has pulled a lot of them off into the midstream, sort of.
It's a more reasonable Republican stream.
Right.
You're right.
That's right. But anyway, with Cliff White and the governor and Malcolm Wilson and Perry Duryea working on that thing up there, if we get a lot of these troops lined up into a Nixon apparatus, why, mm-hmm. the conservatives will have less to bargain us out of position with.
Mm-hmm. What do you hear on Illinois? Is the governor doing some better out there? Or
yes, he is.
He is picking up, I hope so.
He is picking up. We've seen it in the polls. As a matter of fact, Ogilvie was in here last Friday, and I spent an hour going over the things with him. The congressional reapportionment will help.
Help us? Oh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got three additional districts there,
mm-hmm.
as you probably know.
No, I haven't followed it.
We went to court out there. I say we helped them. And have got the redistricting that should give us three additional Republican congressmen.
We have really the same situation in New York State, don't we? Don't we get more? We already have those, but it's just a question of getting the conservatives and the Republicans together to carry a few of those districts, isn't it?
Yes, and of course they have a reapportionment up there, which is going to help the Republicans if it stands up, and I think it probably will. But in Illinois, you've got some changed situations. First of all, Scott will help that ticket, Bill Scott, who well. But the more important thing is that Walker, if you know who he is, that fellow that's running against Simons in the gubernatorial primary.
Oh, I didn't know about a Democrat?
Yep.
I didn't know he had any opposition.
Oh, yes. He's the Walker of the Walker Report, you remember? That wrote part of it.
Yes.
And he has some money. He's rather articulate, not bad-looking, good-looking family. He's been doing one of these walking jobs all summer.
Like walking Lawton, yeah.
Yeah. And he is starting to cut Simons up and attaching to the Daily Machine. and we're finding some ways to give him some money. Hopefully without his finding out about it, because if he does, he would yell it.
Yeah.
But Ogilvy thinks that he can handle it all right.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be cutting Simon down through this activity within their own party, this Silkstock and Lawyer will. And I think this may make a substantial change in that picture.
And if Ogilvy can just keep being a good man, and if we can get him revenue sharing, that'll help him some.
Yes, he's got two big pluses out there. Of course, the Taft Hartley in the dock business, you know, for his farmers, put him up on top. And then we got some money out of the agriculture and this REA thing, which he took a hell of a lot of credit for, which put him up in that area. So he's mending his fences, and I think doing considerably better. And this is what I hear from some of the other politicians out there I talked to.
Why is it that, and I heard that, that Les Ahrens and urge that that Percy campaign more. What are they trying to do? Just get him to campaign so it'll help the ticket? Percy certainly isn't any trouble, is he?
No. Les has got a new district out there, you know, and we probably only get 75% of the vote, and he's running around like a chicken with his head off.
Yeah.
He's demanded that I go out there and speak at a fundraiser.
Oh, boy, Les is always greedy that way.
And, of course, because of his leadership, I'm going to do it, but Les is
a
little irrational about that.
I get it. He's got a primary opponent, too.
Yeah, that's
well, that's just ridiculous. I mean, Les could go fishing. His name is so well known.
In fact, he probably should.
You know, you're right. Rather than appear so damn anxious, you know, he goes to every damn thing, John.
Yep.
He goes to every doggone fish fry and so forth, and that's no way for him to.
And not when you get to Les's age.
That's right.
Although he's quite as you know.
You bet your life, he still play golf.
No, but actually, there's no rancor or ill will in any of the political camps in Illinois. So
is Ohio beginning to pull together now, or how's it look?
Ohio is all right, except for Taft is still cutting up the pea patch down there.
Blitz back yet, or how's he doing?
Well, pardon?
Is Blitz back in a state yet?
Blitz is working down there very well for us, and what's coming on now, of course, are the delegates, the pledged delegates. We got Taft off the wicket down there, his stand-in. And in fact, with John Andrews, we got a rather good ploy. There's a second choice down there, and we got a very attractive woman who's the National Committee woman, designated as the second choice. So that everything is all right except in Hamilton County and Cincinnati, where Taft is making a run at the central committeeman, and he wants the delegates, et cetera, et cetera. So we've been working on that today to soothe that out and keep it out of the delegate process. The only real problem we have is Taft, because he's trying to assert his ascendancy. But as far as the rest of the organization, and he in the long run, well, it'll be all right. What we have done is wait till this delegate selection process gets out of the way, and then we've got what amounts to an organization that we can bring forward the right directly.
You know, with all of our problems in Ohio, it would seem to me that at least one area we ought to do better on, and this time it'd be Cleveland. I mean, we couldn't do as bad as we did before, can we, with having the mayor?
Oh, we're going to do much better. First of all, this fellow Hughes, who's the county chairman out there, has come around completely.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I spent an hour with him here last Friday at one of these functions, and he's all aboard. You know, he was a dog in the manger the last time.
Yes, sir.
And now we've got Perk out there.
Yes, the mayor.
Yep, who is going into those ethnic groups and doing a good job. And apparently he's a hell of a lot better campaigner and politician than he is mayor, because he spends most of his time still running out to these ethnic functions. So.
Yeah, well, let's play on that. That's Rizzo's advice. He says, boy, they're wide open, the Italians and all the rest.
There's no question about that. And this Perk is a guy that can bring them out in Cleveland. And, of course, he's all for you 1,000%. We've helped him out there with some things.
That's great.
Structuring his municipal government.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he can ruin the city between now and November.
Mm-hmm. I see the mic. Mike Mansfield has suggested ask you for vice president. What do you think that is?
I think what Mike is doing is trying to get the South back into the Democratic fold on a more liberal basis, but I don't think he's got much chance of that.
I don't know. I don't think a governor of Florida would be... I mean, that's a pretty tough job to run for an income, but I don't know. Askew's a pretty nice fellow, isn't he?
Well, he's rather an attractive guy, but hell, you know what's going to happen. It's probably going to be a Muskie or Humphrey, and then they're going to go to the left to protect their left so they can come back to the middle.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jim Eastland's coming in here tomorrow afternoon or Wednesday afternoon to start laying plans how he can support you in Mississippi, which is intriguing.
That'll be very good.
Yeah.
Because we need it. We need every one of them.
We need those down there because it'll give us a base. But Jim Eastland's stroke, you know.
Well, doesn't it go beyond Mississippi, John? It
spills over into Alabama and Texas. And
Louisiana?
It sure does. He's
Georgia?
Probably, but certainly in Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, because he has contacts with some of those right-wing power bases there.
Also, he's very close to all the cotton people.
Very much so.
And I know that.
Very much so.
And the judges and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And he's smart. Boy, is he smart.
Yeah, he's a damn smart politician.
Mm-hmm. I don't see how... What do you think Blair Wallace is going to do, John? What's your present feeling about that? Is he going to go forth the third party or no? Or is he just going to make a run at the Democrats and then join ranks with them?
I don't think that you can answer that at this time, Mr. President. All of the intelligence that we get from so many places, you know, it's all mixed up.
Sure.
And the prime intelligence that we seem to get is that George is all mixed up.
Who?
He doesn't, or the people around him, and of course he has a new crew. He's lost most of the old hands. They just don't know what they're going to do.
Hmm.
As a matter of fact, there's been some reports out that George is having a little emotional problems, that he gets depressed and goes up and down, and I'm not quite certain that any validity to it, but he certainly isn't George Wallace at 68.
Well, let's just hope he runs well in Florida. He will that, won't he?
I believe he will from the polls that come out of there. There's no question but what if the election were held today that he would come out on top. The interesting thing is that he is apparently going into the Democratic primaries in Maryland, Pennsylvania, and a few other states, which is, I think, also fine because he will be taking the conservative right-wingers away from
Muskie
on the top and
probably
into him. So.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that Jim Eastland will have a better reading for me than I've been able to get.
Of course, at the present time, there is a move on the part of many of the Democrats and the media to sort of rally around Muskie because they don't want to have a fight.
Yep.
But the question as to whether it'll work, I think, depends on these primaries. Do you agree?
I think that when you look at the primaries, that Muskie's going to win in New Hampshire, but not overwhelmingly. He's going to come in probably third at the moment in Florida. And then you go to Wisconsin, and he could get cut up there pretty good. So this might,
particularly if Wallace goes in there hard.
Mm-hmm. If he goes into those...
Wallace could get some of those polls away from him.
Yes, he could. So I think that may slow things up considerably.
Mm-hmm. The main thing is not really to try to select the opponent, because who knows who's the strongest. But the main thing is to be sure that he doesn't get a free ride. Isn't that it, John?
Exactly. And that's why we're opting for another good primary in Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, how is that going to be? I didn't know they had a primary.
Well, they don't, but we got Milligan to put in a bill, and the Democrats have got some problems in their selection process under state law vis-a-vis the Democratic committee's regulations, so that they are on the spot and probably going to have to go for it. So you'll have another big battleground in Michigan, which ought to cost them a hell of a lot of money. And as you know, you've got a lot of left-wingers out there.
Well,
that could be another bloody operation that'll take them.
Depends on who all gets in. How long do you think Hubert can survive?
Oh, I think he can go right on through.
You think he will, huh?
Yeah, because I think he's got enough organization.
Money.
And he's got the money, and I think he's got probably enough labor support. So that I think he'd probably go on all the way on through and see what he can do at the convention, and unless it gets to the point where Muskie can lock it up. And I don't see that on an early stage. When you take a look at the people that have come out for Muskie, why, there's a lot of reasons for it. There's either their personal benefits or their local political problems. And it hasn't really created a landslide that I can see.
Well, he's moving up in polls and everything because he's getting a hell of a lot of publicity. But on the other hand, that can't last. It can't last in the sense that it's so damn early. In my opinion, he will get publicity out of winning primaries. But then if he doesn't win one,
well, that's
that can really cut you up.
That's the point. If he doesn't do too well in New Hampshire.
But there, isn't he a rather a cinch? I figured him for 75% up there.
No, I don't believe that'll be the case.
Really?
Not according to the polls up there now.
You mean who's going to get the votes then? I don't see how the hell McGovern.
Well, you got McGovern and his Kitty Corps up there. You got Sam Yardy being supported by the
Loeb,
and there's a slight Kennedy write-in being structured, as you may not know.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I would think being right next door, they'd be damn fools not to run one there.
Yeah, and there'll be I'm sure a hell of a lot of the independents that will go into to the McGovern camp or the Rice Kennedy write-in or whatever it is. So I don't think he's going to come out of there with the numbers that they will build him up on. And of course you've got Hartke, and
Hartke's up there.
Right? Fooling around, it'll take off 4, 5, 6%, or maybe more.
Well, that's
the Ashbrook thing, as you probably know, is going no place. He lost his campaign manager up in New Hampshire, and then he picked some right-wing kook, and then the rest of the organization quit because the other guy was known as a right-wing Birchite, and he's having problems, and the troops in Florida, all of our right-wing friends down there, are living and dying for Richard Nixon. There's been nobody of any name that can be identified that's even gotten close to Ashbrook.
Is McCloskey in Florida?
Yeah, he's on the ballot by designation, but he has no activity down there, and of course...
I don't see how he can afford it, John. I don't know where you're going to get the money.
He couldn't, and
I don't see how he can afford what he's doing now.
Well, you've got... Norton Simon has provided him some money, and of course he's had those newspaper... ads and so forth, which have brought in some, but his operations are cut down up there, and the kids aren't getting up there, from out of state. You had a rally up there on Saturday where they had over 300 college kids up there running around screaming and working and so forth, and McCloskey, I don't think, has ever put together more than 50 at any one time.
It's great. Okay, I'll get back to my speech and try to figure out something to say to the folks tomorrow night.
I'm sure that it's going to put some red faces on some of these people.
Well, I suppose that the line of attack on the other side, and I've been preparing Kissinger for the questions that he'll get in his briefing, is that, why did we do it in secret? Well, we can say, because that we'll do anything to end the war. Second, why did we oppose a deadline when offered by the Senate, by the Congress? Well, because they didn't get anything for it.
That's right.
And we've offered it in return for a ceasefire and POWs. But I think we've got a pretty good offer, John. I mean, after all, when we lay on the table, as we did in October, and we're doing it now, a six-month offer to withdraw all forces in 6 months in return for POWs.
out and it's structured in the proper way instead of a rhetoric forum.
Right.
So, it'll take some, I think.
They'll have to squeal for a while.
You'd be interested, I believe, to know that Nelson Rockefeller and Dick Ogilvie and some of the rest of them were up the last Friday with the leadership on the Hill, both Democrat and Republican, talking about the revenue share and so forth. And Nelson says it's the complete census of those present, that you've taken every issue away from the Democrats and there's none left. And the Democrats agreed to that in that particular forum. And I think it's right.
Yeah, we hope so. We shall see if we can just keep our friends in South Vietnam from collapsing. They're not going to collapse, I don't think.
I don't believe they will. I follow that
in their reports, and I just feel that, we always, of course, get great frightening, predictions about high points and attacks and so forth, and they're going to have some attacks. But, my God, if the South Vietnamese, with 1,200,000 under arms and American air power, cannot hold their own against the North Vietnamese with their long line of communication and no air power, then for Christ's sakes, they can't survive. That's all there is to it.
Well, as you say, there'll probably be some bloody hamlets and so forth around the place, which the press will build up like they've been trying to do for the last 2 weeks.
That's right.
But they can't take over any particular part of the country, and they certainly can't take over any major cities.
They aren't going to get
In addition to that, you've only got a few more months until April again, when the rain season comes.
We hope it comes early.
I wish as I keep telling Bob Haldeman to ask him to do so, that our military out in Saigon, every time they have a helicopter go out on patrol, that they don't give a big briefing on it and all the description of it. They ought to be playing that stuff down instead of building it up.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
And
well, as soon as we get past this speech, I think we ought to get Laird and sit him down and say, now, God damn it, Laird and Moore, and let's just tell him to do that. Shall we do that?
Oh, yeah, I think that's
Let's tell Laird and Moore, now, we've got to knock this down, and let's start de-escalating the rhetoric out there and the propaganda. Every time these guys go to the bathroom, they'll
have a briefing, and it's all over the air because those correspondents out there have nothing else to do.
Nothing else to do but to try to build up.
What they ought to do is close the damn press office because there isn't enough personnel out there to warrant one.
That's right. Yeah. That should be part of our withdrawal program.
But first.
Okay, John.
Right, sir. Good night.